just gone 3:30. It's your Monday drive. This is Charlie Davey across Brentwood, Billericay and those surrounding areas on 98 FM. And joining me in the studio is gadget guru Pete Sipple. Afternoon.
Good afternoon, Charlie.
Long time no see.
It's been a while. How are you?
I'm good, actually. You?
Not too bad. Although I do want a club biscuit now I've heard your show.
The first thing I heard when I heard that Kooks song.
You're right.
The other week.
You're absolutely right.
And the new Miles Kane track sounds like Kenny's the Bump.
Okay, I'll take your word for that.
Really, everyone's saying it's T-Rex. No, it's not. It's Kenny's the Bump. It's in my list further down. So on your way home,
I'll
play it for you. Let's talk about padlocks.
Okay.
Green ones.
Green padlocks. Not red padlocks.
No, green padlocks off of browsers.
Uh-huh.
Because I mentioned this the other day, and I saw it on the news that Google's Chrome browser has had an update which kind of throws a wobbly if you load a website that isn't secure. So I've got you in to talk about why is having a secure website important for the person running the website and for the likes of us. Because if we're about to put credit card information and personal gubbins into it, like an address or date of birth, it needs to stay in one place rather than be sent off to Russia or somewhere. So let's talk about the padlock and the Chrome update.
Okay, well, the Chrome update was coming. We've been expecting this for a little while, and it's all about trying to get the web as secure as possible. So Google has a stated ambition of trying to get the entire web to be completely secure. And basically what we mean by secure in this context for the padlock is end to end. So the website where the actual stuff it is that you're interacting with, and your browser, it needs to be a safe tunnel right the way from your browser to the website. If it is, and no one can sort of sniff the traffic in the middle or interrupt or disrupt your traffic, then it's secure and you will get a little green padlock telling you so.
So that's like encryption. It's not like plain text where it'll see Pete and Charlie, Phoenix FM. It will actually be
absolutely
not plain text.
It's securely encrypted so that nobody sitting in the middle can sort of sniff what you're up to. And the reason it matters is if you are out and about using, let's say, Wi-Fi on your laptop, you may be at a coffee shop or an airport or something like that, it's actually surprisingly easy for a criminal to set up a hotspot. So you think you're logging on to, you know, your coffee shop's Wi-Fi, but you're not. And anyone can actually just be mirroring your key presses, seeing you type in your credit card numbers, your passwords, and we're all pretty hopeless with passwords. We use the same passwords for different things. So it's very easy for someone to set up a fake hotspot and get all your passwords and financial data.
And we should always see the padlock when we're using a shopping website, whether it's like Amazon or the high street store, anything like that. That's the must-have, isn't it?
That's always sort of been there. It's now getting more visible to the consumers. So previously, there's always been the idea of a secure or an insecure website. But now, with the latest update, Google is actually flashing it in people's faces. It's about to go a step further as well. The next version of Chrome will make it even more obvious. So you'll get a red warning when you visit a site that's not secure. Even if you just type in a username or a password or an email address to sign up to a mailing list, on an insecure website, you're soon going to start getting red boxes warning you about that.
There was a news article, I think, on BBC News Online the other week about the number of popular websites in the world that don't have a secure connection. I think the Daily Mail might have been one of them.
There's a few out there that aren't secure. You'll notice, though, there is a definite trend at the moment to getting that secure thing in place. And as these browsers are going to get more and more naggy about things not being secure, one of two things is going to happen. It's either going to make the consumer very savvy and they're very aware of what they're doing, or them very blasé and they aren't going to care whether it's red, green or grey.
So someone's running a hobby website. Let's forget about payments and shops and things. If you're running a website that just doesn't make any money, but it's a hobby for somebody from their shed, let's say, and they don't have a secure padlock on their website, but they're not taking any information, it's just unsecure, basic website, what does that do for their search rankings?
It'll do a couple of things. Certainly it will affect the search ranking, and the idea is Google is only at the moment trying to build its focus on listing secure websites. So if your hobby in a shed doesn't have the secure site, but another rival shed does, then the rival shed will go higher up the rankings than the other one. So it does kind of matter. And also people may just get blasé to the fact, or maybe aware of the fact, that, you know, in some way this is untrusted. Of course, we've recently had the GDPR, the data protection stuff. So the idea that you're signing up to a hobby website and it's insecure, you might be a bit wary of putting in your email address, even though it's perfectly safe. You might just be very wary about interacting with a site because it's saying it's insecure, even if it actually doesn't really matter.
So is a padlock something you can enable in the control panel of your website, like where you define a new email address?
It's slightly more complicated than that, unfortunately. What it normally needs you to do is to go to your internet service provider that hosts your website and get an SSL certificate, which is something that's installed on the server, and it effectively is proving who you are to the end user on their browser.
Is that free?
If you go direct to your internet service provider, there's normally a charge. They will charge an administration fee.
But they'll do it all for you?
They will do the work for you. But you don't necessarily need to. There are, fortunately, for the likes of us that run shed businesses, there are free certificates out there that you can get. And there's a company called Let's Encrypt that supply a free certificate that you can install. It can be a bit fiddly to do, but your internet provider can help you with that. And that will give you the basic, you know, secure green logo on your website. There are reasons why it may not necessarily be the best solution. If you are involved in online transactions, you might need a slightly more robust certificate than the free Let's Encrypt one. But for your hobbyists, your very small businesses, that will do perfectly well. And of course, it's free.
So when you say robust, obviously there's insecure and there's secure, but how secure is secure when you use the word robust?
Okay, it's a little bit on the tricky side, and it does take you get a little bit of time to get your head around this one. But the basic free certificate basically says to the end user, you are actually talking securely to the site that you think you're talking to. But of course, the site you think you're talking to could be anywhere. It could be a fake website, it could be a clone of another website. If you actually want to run, let's say, a bank, or you're doing some purchases that people need to put their credit card in, actually you need to prove that you're definitely talking to the right organisation. So you need a certificate that is signed by a third party that says, yes, this is definitely a third party approval of your particular website. So okay, it's a bit more robust.
What about if the shed website, to use that example again, has got like PayPal buttons, and when you click buy or donate, you get taken to a secure PayPal thing? Does the original website still really need that padlock?
Technically, no, because you're then making the transaction with PayPal.
But we're back to the Google thing again, aren't we?
We are back to the Google thing. And also, it's that thing. If you are going to get red warnings when you visit a website, would you put your details in, even though technically you're dealing with PayPal? You've made a transaction through a website that says, I am not secure. And I saw a stat recently that was saying 84% of people will not shop online if they don't think their website is secure. So even if you are bypassing to go direct to PayPal, people will still potentially be scared off from making that donation or making that payment.
Let's talk a little bit about SEO. You've mentioned on your notes here about accurate page descriptions, plugins, etc. WooRank, that sounds familiar and also quite humorous. What's that about?
Okay, so this is the idea. I thought I'd throw this into the conversation here. Obviously, there are going to be local businesses listening to this that may be aware that they need to go to HTTPS to get the secure website. And it will certainly have an effect on search rankings. So if you are in a competitive market, maybe you've got a business down the road that's doing what you're doing, you want to get any advantage you can. And certainly that security padlock is going to make a little bit of a difference. But there's other things that can make a difference. The abbreviation you've given, SEO, stands for Search Engine Optimization, where you're basically tweaking your website to make it perform at its best. And some fairly small changes can make a difference. Just looking at your website and making sure each page has an accurate name. Common mistake I see is people will just have the word home at the top of their page.
Doesn't really mean very much.
Rather than saying Phoenix FM Community Radio, it will just say home.
It says that now.
It does, well done. So it's some basic changes that you can make to your website that will make it more discoverable. And let's face it, so many of us now use Google to find other businesses or get answers to questions. So being high on the ranks, really being on the first page, does matter. Also getting links from other relevant websites to your website will boost your ranking, make you more visible, and hopefully make you some more money.
So does a dynamic homepage, shall we say, help with the Google results? So if you've got stuff that's regularly being updated on the front page of your website, does that help or can it be buried somewhere else on the website?
It very much depends. There's a lot of different measurements that Google take on assessing a website. Certainly sites that are updated frequently, that have a lot of content, that's well-written content, that's relevant, that's updated, also that's popular. So things like Facebook and Twitter linking to it does make a difference. So certainly an active, dynamic website that's doing something that looks busy, that's constantly updated, will do better than a site that was written 20 years ago, hasn't changed much, and is pretty static. So that will certainly make a difference.
Okay, here's a question which I don't know if you'll be able to answer because no one else has been able to answer this. Why are some of the most popular websites around so cluttered? Particularly local news websites. You land on a news page because a clickbait link has sent you somewhere saying, OMG, you won't believe this. See what happens when you click this link. And the first thing you get is a great big picture that takes up about two-thirds of the screen space. You can see one sentence right at the bottom of your monitor or your tablet, and then what happens is as soon as you start scrolling, that picture becomes a video that will auto start playing in 5 seconds, 4, 3, 2, 1, and follows you down the page.
So frustrating. I share your pain on that one. It's obviously a money-making thing. They're trying to do a couple of things there. They're trying to get you hooked on the site, so something called clickbait, where you will click a link because it says you won't believe it. You then kind of get suckered into a site where there's a bit of content in the middle and a whole load of ads around the side of it. They're either asking you to sign up to something, to subscribe, to click through a bunch of pages to help boost their page count so they look more popular than they are. It's a horrible trend. I'm hoping it's not going to be around for long. We used to just see one or two banner ads across the top of a website or down the side. Now there's a tiny bit of content and 95% of ads. It's horrible, and hopefully people will soon get wise to it and it'll change.
From the point of view of both a website operator and a consumer, where do you stand ethically with people using like ad blockers and things like that?
It's a tricky one. I mean, if you're providing good content for free, you do expect something back. So whether that's donations, whether that's click-throughs of an advert, or just, you know, promoting and sharing. If you're putting stuff out there for free, you do expect something back. I run ads on websites that I do, and they do make a small amount of income, not enough to pay for the hosting of the website.
You have like Amazon affiliates and things like that?
That sort of thing, yeah. So if you recommend a particular product, Amazon will give you a small fee in return for that placement.
But you don't have a thing sort of splodging across the whole of the page saying, buy this suntan lotion or something, and follows you down the page as you scroll.
I wouldn't do that because I'm a web user as well, and I know how frustrating it is. There is a fine line, and you can normally get a feel when you visit a website like that that is full of those ads that follow you around. You kind of get the feeling it's been designed by committee, and someone has said, oh, you ought to put a page about our mugs on, and you ought to put a page about T-shirts on, and oh, there's this advert you can get, and all put some Amazon stuff on. And people have piled this stuff on just on the off chance that somebody accidentally clicks on something and makes them some money. But if you're clever about it, you can do it in a way that isn't obtrusive. It does get you a little bit of income without totally putting somebody off. It's a fine line.
Okay. And just to recap on the browser thing, there's absolutely nothing wrong with using Internet Explorer or Firefox, is there? As we were talking about Chrome earlier being more secure.
No, other browsers are available. So there's Edge, there's Windows Internet Explorer. There's plenty of browsers out there. Of course, mobile phones, iPhones and iPads use the Safari browser. They're all sort of going to go the same way, so this padlock thing is going to be common across all of them. It's already on most of them, but they are going to make it more and more obvious. So, yeah, Chrome is a very common browser. Google is a very common search engine, but everyone will eventually be moving in this direction. So do get used to looking for that secure padlock.
Okay, safety online, padlocks of the green variety, and a little bit of help to get your search engine rankings on your garden shed website a little bit higher. Gadget Guru, Pete Sipple, thanks very much for your time this afternoon.
Been a pleasure, thank you.